Okay, we're picking up seven lines from the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Our learning is once again sponsored Le'ilo Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov. Wishing everyone a good Moed, and everyone should enjoy Smachta Bechagecha. Okay, so let's continue. The Gemara was talking about the Schar for the Mi'alados. We had Shifra and Pua, which we said was Yuchever to Miriam. Bahi Kiru Mi'alados is Elokim Vayaslaim Batim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the midwives had feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't listen to Paro, and they didn't kill any of the Jews. Not only that, they helped them and help try to make them and save them. So the Gemara says, what were these batim? What were these special houses that he made for them? Rav Shmuel, Achad Amar Bate Kehuna Olivia. One says, Bate Kehuna Olivia, the Kohanim and Levim came for them. Achad Amar Bate Malchus. The one says that it was ended up having Malachim, kings descend from them. Manda Amar Bate Kehuna Olivia. So the one who says that it was Kehuna Olivia, Aaron and Moshe is referring to Aaron and Moshe, who the children are of Yocheved. So she was rewarded with Bate Kehuna Velevia. That was her reward. That was Vayaslam and Batim. It was the primary reward is for Yocheved. That's what we see over here. There's a Shaila. Aaron, we know, okay, he got the Kehuna, but everybody, Moshe is a Levi, no different than the other Leviim. So that's a good Kasha. But anyway, that's what the Gemara assumes right here, that she gets both Kehuna and Levia. Umandam are Bate Malchus, and the one who says that it was Bate Malchus, David, Nami Mimiram Kaase, David, David HaMelech, he came from Miriam. So this, according to this Shita, we see that Miriam was also rewarded that in the saving of Klal Yisrael. That's what she was going to see. She's called Ephras. So she also was rewarded with David HaMelech descending from her. Dechsev, Batamas Azuva, Ba'ikach Lo Kalev Es Ephras. So the Pasuk says in Divrei Yamim that when Azuva died, Kalev married Ephras. Batal Lo Es Chur, who had Chur. So we see Ephras is a reference to Miriam. She ended up being called Ephras, we could see Azuva, because it's the same woman. Azuva is the same person. Ephras is the same woman. She's Miriam. We're going to see because she was sick with Tara'as, not at the time when she famously became sick, but rather she had Tara'as and then she ended up being healed. That's what we're going to see. We're going to see that later, but that they're assuming that this is Miriam. Uchsiv, v'David ben Ish Ephrasi. David ben Ish Ephrasi. David was Ish Ephrasi. So he was a man who traced his lineage back to Ephras. Ephras was this Choshev a lady. It was Miriam. It was this Yichus. And that was the Masorah that David came from Miriam. The Maharsha points out very nicely that Ephras generally referred to someone who's either from Sheves Ephraim or someone who lived in that place. Now, David was neither of those. So therefore, that's why the Gemara has the ability to have this drasha that Ephras must mean something else over here. It must be that he came from Miriam, who was Ephras. That's what we learn from over here. Okay, so now the Gemara is continuing into the discussion of Divrei Hayamim, the Psukim and Divrei Hayamim, which discuss the different names. Chalev ben Chetzon Oliad is Azuva, Isha ve'Esirios, ve'Ela Banea Yosher ve'Shove ve'Erdon. So Chalev, the son of Chetzon, Azuva, Isha ve'Esirios. He had Azuva and Yerios. And also, the sons were Yesher, Shovav, and Ardon. So the Gemara is going to learn that this is all a remnant for deeper things. Ben Chetzon, the Gemara first asked, wait a second. Chalev wasn't Ben Chetzon, we know. Chalev ben Yefune, in Parsha Shlach, when Chalev was introduced to be one of the Meraglim, it says that he was Ben Yefune. He was the son of Yefune. So he was not the son of Chetzron. So the Gemara says, rather Ben Shapana Me'atas Meraglim. So really his father's name was, as it is recorded in Divrei Yamim, it was Chetzron. But he got the nickname, so to speak. The Torah gives him the name of Yefune because he turned, the Lashon of Panaz. He turned from the Eitzah of the Meraglim, and he decided to support Moshe Rabbeinu, and we know, ended up not being listened to, which is why we have Tisha B'Av. But Be'etzem, that was something which him and Yehoshua decided to not go with, the whole Eitzah of the Meraglim. The Gemara says further, the Vakasi ben Knazu. But Kalev must have been the son of Knaz. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk says, Vayilkada Osniel ben Knaz, Achi Kalev. It says in both Yehoshua and later in the Shoftim that Osniel ben Knaz was the brother of Kalev. So and he conquered the city. So if this was the brother of Kalev, so then they must have had the same father, who was Knaz. And the Gemara ends up answering, no, they were the brother, but they were really half brothers. Amar Rava Chogro de Knaz Havet. Kalev was the stepson of Knaz. The Kalev and Osniel were only maternal brothers, their mother. So apparently, she was married first to Chetzron. He died, and then later she remarried and had Knaz. And so therefore, Knaz was she remarried Knaz and had Osniel. And therefore Osniel and Kalev were only half brothers. They were maternal brothers, and therefore Kenaz was the ended up raising later was the stepfather of Kalev. So the Gemara says, turning on to Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Daikonami Dichsiv. The pasuk says Hakinzi Kalev was the Ben Yefune Hakinzi. He was Kinzi. Why he's called Ben Yefune? Yet we call him a Kinzi. So we see that Kalev really was the son of Yefune, who we're really saying is not really Yefune. He really is Chetron, but he came from Kinzi because really he raised him. He was his stepfather, and so therefore that's why he ended up being called a Kinzi. Shmamina, that's a good raya that Kalev was only a stepson from Kenaz. Okay, now the Gemara continues to the psukim in Divrei Hayamim. We see that a name. When we have a name, the Gemara Bracha says that right Shem Shamabar Shemos, that Shem is a very big thing. So Reb Chaim Kineski was a Makbid, was famous for all the names, and he had a personal chumrah that should only be from Tanakh or whatever, or later names of Masor and Klal Yisrael. But Be'etzem, names have a very big, either whether you're that Machbid or not, names have a very big place in a person's life, and a person's name the Rizal says it's like a Ruach HaKodesh, and it also gives that person his spiritual kochos, so to speak. That a person has a name, that's why it's such a big thing to give a name. It's not a small thing. And so also the Hebrew name is so important, as much as possible. You know, Al Shadoshana Slashona was one of the reasons Klal Yisrael was saved, is it important to try to be called by your Hebrew name as much as possible, if possible. Moshe writes at the end of the day, it's not Mamash Achiyum. Moshe has a famous shuva about that. If someone has a name, like a Goyish name, that I forgot the exact shul was asking about, and he said they want to do her name or whatever it is, Stephanie, and they want my mother really wants to name after her mother whose name was Stephanie, and they want her to call the baby Stephanie. So Moshe writes, for Kibbutz Avim, you can be Mekel and call her that, and he gets into the whole Loshel and Shloshonim. That's not for now. But either way, I'm just pointing out that it's very nice. Even Ramosha, I was asking him that there's a big Inyan. If you can, go by your Hebrew Jewish name. So the Gemara says, Azuva is Miriam. She was called Azuva. But Lamani Kras Azuva, what is the lesson of Azuva being left? Shakol Azuva Metchila, that nobody wanted to marry her. She had, as we're going to see later, she was very a very sickly person, and she had Taras, so no one wanted to marry her. This was before the famous episode of Taras, because we're talking over here right when she was having Chur. Chur was later, Chur was at the time of the fight with Amalek. He was raising Moshe's hand, so she already had him. And it must be that this whole episode was much earlier. So this is another time she had Taras, and so the Gemara says Holid. So it says that Kalev and Chetron was Holid as Azuva. If Azuva is Miriam, he married her. Velon Misav Nasi. The Gemara asks, wait a second, he's married to her. He didn't have a child. He didn't give birth to her. He wasn't her father. He was married to her. So the Gemara says, "Amar Biyochran Kol Nosa Ish L'Shem Shemayim Mala Kosov Kilo Yalada." That if a person marries someone L'Shem Shemayim, it's as if he gave birth to her, and it's as if like he's making her anew, because he's able to give her the chiyus to be able. She's able to have children, and she's able to get married. And it's such a gevaldik, high level thing. This is a very high level. Rosh Hashanah likes to point out that we're not like Malachim, where a person should be attracted to their wife. He says, Zekiyim, which Achron always quotes, maybe Lecha Mishnah, that marrying a beautiful woman is a hider mitzvah, peruvu, and being in the mitzvah marriage. So just like a beautiful Esrog, you have a beautiful woman, and you're not a Malach, you wake up with her every morning and see her. So anyway, that's what Shaka's whole thing. But here's it's definitely a big Mila for a very big tzaddikim. There's a famous story with Yaakov Meir Shechter, just a few weeks ago, about how he was like tricked when it started Shidda dating. They made it seem like this woman was a normal lady, and he figured out very quickly that she was off, and she was like pretty crazy. But he said, how can I embarrass Abbas Yisrael? They already, in those, you know, those times, especially now, it exists a little bit, but it was more so back then. You know, we're talking about 80 years ago, that where we went on a date, it was like, Ilu, you are signed up for marriage. Everyone, the parents basically agree, and they're just making sure that things were working out. They would meet one time and get married. So I can't embarrass her, and he ended up marrying her, and she's like crazy. They have a few kids who are off because of it, and he really suffered a lot with this woman. That's what I heard from one of the people who was close with him. That's another level. That's not for normal people. But that was Malah Levakasif Kilu Yada. That's what's reminded of here. Okay, let's go on the Gemara Vayter. Says the Gemara Yerios. The pasuk says by Miriam Yerios. What is Yerios? Shayu Panah Domin Yerios. Her face was so pale that it was like a curtain. It was not a nice curtain, like a white curtain. Ve'ela Banea, these were her children. Yesher Yoshev and Ardon, Altika Banea, Ela Bonea. These are the builders, meaning that these are, again, allusion to Kalev who built her. And why was he nicknamed all these names? Yesher, because Yesher Satsmo, he straightened himself, and he did not, he didn't make the mistake that the spies had made. Shovav Sheshibes is Yitzro. He also was Nisgabrel versus Yitzhara to join the spies Eitzah and to speak badly about Eretz Yisrael, and he ignored them. Ardon Sherada es Yitzro. Also, he was able to overcome his Yetzer Hara, which again was not leading him towards the spies. So Vika de Amre al Shayu Panea Domim Levered. Some say it was Kalev because he was married to Miriam, who was like a rose, and he helped her end up recovering, and that's why it was called. That's the lashon of Ardon, Levaron. That was the sheet of Rashi. Others explained very nicely that this is not a reference to the fact that the Meraglim is able to overcome. He's able to come as only to her to marry her. That's what he was. Shishiva says Yitzro. He realized I'm not marrying a beautiful woman. Still, it's okay. I'm not going to be able to handle it. That's a nice explanation also that these lashonos also that he was able to overcome his Yitzro Hara. To marry her because she was not beautiful. Now the Gemara continues right there. Ulashachor avi takua yushtei nashim. Ashchor v'takua had two wives. Chala v'nara. That was her name. Chala v'nara. Ashchor is Kalev again. Ze Kalev. V'lama nikra Ashchor. So why is he called Ashchor? Shehushchor panei v'taniyos. He was fasting many times because he didn't want to be convinced by the eights of the Meraglim. Avi shenasela ka'av. He was like a father to Miriam again. He took care of her. He took care of all of her needs. His mom was like her father. Takua shetakas libel aviv shemayim. He is takua. Like he engraved this heart. He was deeply in to his aviv shemayim and to not join the eitza of the meraglim and also take care of Miriam. Mayushte nashim. He had two wives. Nasir Miriam because Nasir Miriam ended up being like two different wives. Chala v'nara because chala velo nara v'es. That she was not chala or nara. Meaning ela v'tchila chala. She was very chala. She's like a lashon of chala. She was sick. She's very sick, and then Vasov Nara, after she ended up being healed, she ended up being this beautiful woman. Nara, she looked like a Nara, this beautiful woman that was so beautiful, it was as if he was like remarried to another woman. And the sons of Chela were Terech, Tzochar, Esnan. Again, these are Ramazim to Miriam. She became so beautiful, she was like, everyone used to say, wow, you know, that she's the most beautiful woman in the world. Everyone recognized her beauty. Tzohar shayu panea domim ketzorayim. She was called Tzohar because she had her beauty was like the day, the middle of the day, the beautiful sun in the middle of the day. Esnan shekola roosa molech esnan liishtai. Anybody who saw her wanted to end up having relations with their wife because she was so beautiful, and they would give a gift to their wives in order to eventually lead them to have intimacy with their wives. Okay, now the Gemara is going back to the Inyan HaDiyoma of Pesach, about the story of Paro. Vayitza Paro L'chol Amo. So we said that the Paro's decrees had gotten in ascending order. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Af Al Amo Gazar. That this refers to, even this day, he required everybody to be thrown into the river. Rashi quotes the Midrash Tanchuma, that explains what exactly was the background for this, is that the Itzdange Paro, they were able to look into the stars and be able to read what was going to happen. So they said that we know that Moshe Anshei Yisrael needs to be thrown in the river. And he's eventually going to be struck by water. He's going to be punished by water. So they thought it meant that they're going to be the ones to kill him. They could get rid of the Moshe Anshei Yisrael. So on the day, that's why they originally were decreed that all the male boys had to be thrown into the river. However, the day that he was, Moshe Rabbeinu was born, they said they couldn't tell if it was from the Egyptians or from the Yidden. So then Paro decreed that all boys of Klal Yisrael and also of the Egyptians had to be thrown into the river. Paro had three decrees in ascending order. If it's a son, you should kill him. And that he gave as a chiyuv onto the midwives. That was Shifra and Pua's job. They ended up not listening to him. Then he said, that every son that's going to be born, you should throw him into the river. That is going to be for the sons of Klal Yisrael. Ulvasov af alamu gazar. He also had it on his own people that he eventually wanted to get rid of them. The whole question is, why did Paro not also decree on the woman? If he wanted to kill all of Klal Yisrael, then he should be killing the woman also. One man, if one man survives, he can marry, you know, hundreds of wives and then procreate and continue Klal Yisrael. So the Midrash explains that they were so steeped in znus, they thought they were going to kill out all the men, and they'd be able to take all of the women for themselves and marry them, make them Egyptian, and then have relations with them. That's why they decided not to kill them. So that's what which obviously was not a smart idea. The Pesukim, the Gemara's drasha about that Paro is like a fool. Pesukim in Yeshayahu, which we learn, is referring to Paro. So it was a foolish idea. He should have obviously overcome that idea, and if he wanted to get rid of them and try to kill the woman as well. Either way, he did not. So then A man went and he took the daughter of Bas Levi. Who is this? The man was Amram, and he was taking Yocheved. Where was he going? What's going on? Rashi Chumash quotes this drasha as along with many other drashas that we just had. Rashi Chumash quotes these ideas. Amar of Yudah Bar Ziv. No, Shalach Ba'atzas Bita. He went with the Eitzah of his daughter. He followed her advice. He followed her advice to decide to remarry. What would happen over here? Tana, the Braisa tells us. Amram Gadol Adoraya. Amram was the Gadol Ador. He was the leader of Klal Yisrael. He was the greatest one. And Klal Yisrael, everybody listened to him. Kevan Shirash, Amar Paro Rasha, Amram was one of the people who never sinned in his life. So obviously he was a big tzaddik. Once he saw that the Paro said that all, Kol HaBenei Lo Rajat HaShechu, that every person you should be thrown into the river and be killed. Amar L'Shavan Amelim, he said, what are we working so hard for to have children? We're already slaves, already that. Let's not have children, they're going to kill them anyway. Amar V'Girish is here, so therefore he divorced his wife. Amdu Kulan V'Girish is here. What did the God Ador do? Something that everybody follows. And they also divorced their wives. Amar L'Bito, so Miriam said to Amram, Abba, he said, Tati, your decree is harder than that of Paro. Sheparo lo gazar ela alaz charim, because Paro said his decree only against the males. Ve'atak zarta alaz charim alnekevas. If we have a daughter, so there's a 50-50 chance that that you're going to have a daughter, and then she's going to survive, and now you're killing her off also. Paro lo gazar ela b'olam haza, and Paro decreed in this world they're going to be destroyed. They'll have a chelik alam haba. Ve'atak b'olam haza ulam haba. If a child never comes into the world, they're not going to have a chelik alam haba. So you're removing that from the child. So give them the ability to and then be killed in the Kiddush Hashem, and they will be getting Olam Haba. Paro Shosafeg Miskei Megzirosav. Paro his decrees anyway are going to be canceled. Someone else is going to take over. Safek Inu Miskei. I don't know what's going to happen. Ata Tzadik Bevadik Zirosav Miskei Yamesh and Emar Vatigzar Omer Vayakam Lecha. The pasuk says that a tzaddik says something, Kosh Baruch Hu listens. We know tzaddik goes there by Kosh Baruch Hu Bekayim. Amad Ve'echzir is Ishto, he listened. He said, that's a good argument. I ended up remarrying his wife. Amdu Kulan Ve'echzir is Nishasir. And then the God of the Lord did that. Everybody also ended up remarrying their wives. Vayikach, the Pasuk says that Vayikach, it sounds like Vayikach is the lashon of getting married for a first time. Vayachzir, but it says he went back to marry the daughter of Levi. What's going on over here? Amar of Yudah Barziv Nasha, Asa La Maise Lekuchin. That when Amram remarried. It was he made a great party as if it was like his first marriage because he wanted to be a fire semen that everybody should know that he's getting married in order that everybody should also remarry and listen to him. Hoshiva Peparion, she had a special chair that was designated chair for a bride of the first time. He had that. Aaron, Miriam, Meraktin, Aaron and Miriam were dancing before. But said a nice kate and Meraktin. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, which we say in Hallel, as part of the Hallel, and then right after that is B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. Right, so we learn from there that led to B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. That the having this mother, Yocheved, who was happy, ended up leading to the Moshiach Shal Yisrael, which was Moshe Rabbeinu, as Bas Levi, and he took Bas Levi. Efshar Bas Me'a V'shloshim Shal V'kar Bas, this was referring to Bas Levi. She was 130 years old. She was the daughter of Levi. And why are you calling her Bas Levi as if she was like a young girl? Damar B'chinyam B'yochanan, Zo Yocheved. We know Bas Levi is referring to Yocheved, who was the daughter of Levi. Shorasa Baderech. She was conceived while they were going down to Mitzrayim, and V'yelidusa ben Achoma, she birth right before they arrived in Egypt. That's the famous idea of the 70s. Shenemar Hashayoda Osa LeLevi beMitzrayim, that the Levi had given birth to her in Mitzrayim. Why are you focusing on the giving birth? It's because of the Gemara's drasha LeDosa beMitzrayim ve'ein Horasa beMitzrayim. She was conceived before they entered into Mitzrayim. However, she was born. She was born after they came into Mitzrayim. And that's the famous 70. Shivim Nefesh is really 69. That's what Rashi quotes. That's the Shita that he goes with. And that is the answer that she was the 70th person. She was born on the way down. And that's why she's counted towards the 70. Others explain that it was Yaakov himself. Others explain it was the Shechina. There are a lot of different explanations to how do you get to 70. That is the explanation of the Gemara, which Rashi and Chumash quotes us this explanation. So the Gemara says again, how is she called the daughter of Levi? Amar Yehuda, Shenoldeba Semanei Narus, because even though she was 130, she was able to have children. So that's a very interesting thing also, because that's a tremendous miracle that at 130 years old, Moshe Rabbeinu was born. That's an unbelievable miracle, which Akedikach, the Ibn Ezra, is so bothered by that. He says it's such a big miracle, the Torah doesn't even tell us. So maybe it's like a guzma that Chazal were exaggerating. The Ramban flat out rejects this, as he does a lot of Ibn Ezra's he rejects. He's not happy with that. The Ramban explains that not every miracle needs to be recorded by the Torah. Yes, it was a great miracle that happened and it was not mentioned, but we know because there's so many different hidden miracles and other miracles that happened, the Torah doesn't feel the need to mention this. And the Maharal is very, very upset with the Ibn Ezra based on this. He says that the whole idea that the Torah has to tell us every single detail. The Torah is not mentioning just news to us. The Torah is telling us things that are fundamental to us and be able to, and the Torah, Kutcha Bricha V'Echadu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving over his essence through the Torah. So for whatever reason, the Torah did not feel the need to mention that we have the Masorah that this happened, but the Torah does not need to mention that point. Like for the famous Gemara that the Sichas and Shel Avdeim is more important than the Halacha, that we learn Halacha from one extra letter, and we have the whole repetition of the story of Eliezer, that we see that different things are supposed to be, that the Torah focuses on certain things, that obviously is for a reason, and it doesn't have to mention it, but that's definitely going to be the case. Okay, so the Gemara continues, Otar Yisha V'Tele Ben, Yocheved could see that she had a son, the Torah says that she's conceiving here. She wasn't pregnant, but she was already pregnant 3 months before that. The Gemara is going to bring a raya for that later. So the Gemara says, so we learn that the act of giving birth is similar to the fact that she conceived. That she conceived without any pain. She gave birth without any pain whatsoever. The great tzidkaneos on such a level that the curse of Chava does not reach them. They don't suffer pain in childbirth. So the Gemara continues, Vatere Osoki Tovu. The Pasuk says that she saw he was good, Moshe Rabbeinu. What was his good? Tanya Rabbi Meir Mer Tov Shemo. His name was Tov. That was why she said Kitovu. Rabbi Yehuda Mer Tovya Shemo. No, his name was Tovya. Tovka. So, okay, the difference between Tov and Tovka. Interesting. Rabbi Nechami Omer Hagel Nevius. He was fit to be a Navi, to be a prophet, to see the future. Acherim Omer Nolad Kishu Maol. He was Nolad Kishu Maol, and that's the lesson of Tov. So Chachamim Omrim B'Shash Nolad Moshe Nismala Bayis Kulu Ora. It was all filled with light. So the Gemara says Ksiv Hacha Vayatera Oso Kitov. Who it says the pasuk was good. Ksiv Asa V'Aralu Kimas Or Kitov. So the light was good. So I saw that they brought down. And some explained the minog. Why do we say Hodel Hashem Kitov Kilam Chasu? Because we see that Kitov was one of the explanations. Is Tov is Lashon of Mila, and the Tov is Mila. So that's why we quote this. We see even every minog. Such sources and Gemaras and earlier sources and beautiful thing. Anyway, that's why we say Hodel Hashem Kitov at a bris, because Kitov is referring to the Tov is referring to Mila. The Gemara continues about the Tzmenu Shlosha Yerachim Yocheved hit him for 3 months. The Lo Manu Mitzrayim Ela Mashal De Adra, because the Mitzrayim only counted 9 months from when Amram married Yocheved. V'yavi Meirbram Beit Shlosha Yerachim Yikar. Apparently, she got pregnant with him 3 months before that. They came to check that point. Rashi and Chumash quotes differently. Rashi and Chumash quotes that Moshe Rabbeinu was born after 6 months, miraculously, and he was okay. But that's another midrash she must be going with. So the Gemara says, "V'lo yachla odat spino." She couldn't hide him any longer. Why didn't she continue hiding him? Why not? Why couldn't she hide him? Ella kolecha davi shamiyam mitzrayim demisale dinuka. Where they heard that a baby was supposed to be born, what would they do? Mamte nuka asim. They would bring a baby there. This was rare of checking. They would cry. They would have the baby cry, and that crying of the baby would apparently cause the other baby, the Jewish baby, to cry, and then they would find the Jewish baby. They would take the baby and throw it into the river. The pasuk says that grab the foxes, the small foxes who spoil the vineyards, when the vineyards are just begun to blossom. That's the pasuk literally. This is the Akash Baruch Hu Kivli Lebaskol saying they left Mitzrayim, that they were victims so young, and this was the way that the Egyptians had done it. Okay, the explanation over here. The Gemara says, "Vatikach lo tevas gome." She made a wicker basket. Ma'ishna gome. Why did Jafki use this material, wicker basket? Why not something stronger, like wood or something else? Amar Belazar, mikan tzadikim shemonim chaviv aleihem yoser megufan. That the tzadikim, their possessions are so careful not to waste anything. So they chose the wicker basket because it was less expensive. The kol kach lama. Why are they so makbid? Because of v'shein poshin yadam megazel. They're so careful with their own possessions that not just waste any money, because their honesty is so precious to them, and if they're careful with themselves, they're going to be careful not to take any money. Rabbi Shimon ben Achmeni Amar, Davar Rach, it was a soft material. Sheikh Alamar b'fnei Davar Rach b'fnei Davar Kasha could be able to withstand, it was a better material. He said differently, it was a better material, and that's why they used the wicker basket. If it would have been a wood, it would have got ruined if it hit a rock or something else. But Achmer b'chemer v'zefes, she covered it with clay and tar. Tanya, chemer b'fnim v'zefes b'chutz. She was, the clay on the inside of the tar was an answer, because tar was a very strong, pungent smell. It didn't smell good. Kedesh lo yareach osu tzadek reach ra, because the Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't smell it. What about the tevas noach, rashi and chumash, chutz akasha? And he says, there was no choice, because he needed it to survive with the great winds and the rain of the mabul. Vatasim ba'as yelet, vatasim basuf. So he put the child into the suf. Rabbi Lezer oimer yam suf. It was the Yamsuf for Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmini Amar Agam. It was just a whatever type of swamp that it was that he put him in. Save kind of Vesuf Kamelu, that the suf was going to wither. The pasuk continues. Vatered Bas Paro lerechotzal yor. So now we're going to Bas Paro. She went So he went to the water to wash herself, literally. She went down to the river to wash herself from her, the avodas of her father. She wanted to accept upon herself monotheism, that there's only one God, and accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She's going in as a type of tefillas geiros. Now, obviously, it wasn't a formal geiros. They didn't have geiros back then. But it was a type of cleansing of going to the mikvah to mitar yourself. I remember a litvus person once asked me, there's no sources here. The Gemara says before that the Achron already pointed this out. Not just me, the Amigdavar and others, that that going into the mikvah for a sense of tara purpose. We see going into mikvah is a tara purpose. Obviously, also chayv adam tara was regal going in erev yontif. We agree. V'cheinu omer im rachat Hashem etzos benos tzion, the cleanse of the filth of benos tzion, to clean herself. She's clean herself from avodah zara. Unarseh alechas, they were walking with her. So why did they mention that they were walking with her? So Amr B'yochanan, ein alichazu ela lashon misa. Lashon of alechas here, it was death. They were about to do something which they were going to be chayv misa for. V'cheinu omer, hinei anochi olech lamus. V'esav, it says, I'm going to die. So the alich over here is dying. She saw the basket. So what did they say? She's going to save Moshe Rabbeinu. Her maid said to her, our master, Minago Shel Oilam. What is this, the way of the world? That the Paro made a decree. Your own father's decree. So obviously you have to listen to it. You have to listen to it. Everyone has to listen to it. And you, the daughter, has to listen. You're not going to listen to your own father's decree. Gavriel made them fall into the drowned in the swamp over there. They drowned. So Paro, Zabas Paro sent her arm and got the basket. It was her own arm. She stretched out her arm to grab Moshe Rabbeinu. So that it was her maidservant. There was one left. It says her hand, which implies her arm. Why didn't it say her arm? Her hand, though. Why did it say Amza? Where Lashon Amza? It should have said Yada. It doesn't say that. It must have been that was her Shivcha. Lamanda was one of her. Lamanda Amar Shivcha. So it was her servant. Ha Amart Gavriel v'Chadav Karka. Gavriel killed all of them. So the Gemara says no. The Shai Lachada that he left one alive in order for her to go grab and save Moshe Rabbeinu. The Lav Orcha the Bas Malka Lamekel Chude, because it wouldn't have been appropriate for Bas Paro the princess to be there by herself. Lamanda Amar Yada, the one who says that it was her arm. Lichtov Yada. Why didn't say her arm? Hakamash Malan Ishtaruve. Her arm extended. It was a great miracle that took place, that her arm extended and she was able to grab Moshe. Her arm extended like an extra 10 feet. That, I remember my son came home from Gan. He like brought home, and my daughter also, I think they do this in Eretz Yisrael, like they like have like a big arm describing Bas Paro's arm to describe this miracle. Okay, that's a nice midrash that they quote for the children. I like this story. Damar Mar v'chena tamotza be'amsa shel Bas Paro with Bas Paro's daughter v'chena tamotza b'shnei rishayim, the teeth of the famous Og Melech Habashim when he died. The whole story in Brachos, and have to get into it, that the Gemara relates that he uprooted a mountain to throw it on Klal Yisrael, and Hashem Kosh Baruch Hu made the mountain with worms and with ants, ended up making it fall on his face, and it made his teeth go down. That they had broken, that he couldn't bite it off and get rid of it. And that's how Og died. That you extended it. Also, it was extended, that his teeth extended down, that he died. Okay? Very interesting Gemara there anyway. The Gemara continues, Vatiftach Vatarasa Yelad. The pasuk said that she saw the child. It should say that she saw the child. Amar Abiyosir B'chanina. She saw the Shechina imay. She saw the Shechina together with the child. Vinei nar bocha. There was a child who was crying. Karla yeled v'karla nar. Is he a child or is he an older child? Youth, a nar implies like someone like, you know, 11, 12, whatever, older. Tano yeled v'kola kinar. He was like a yeled, but his voice was like a old, much older, much deeper, like an older child. Devar Rabbi Yehuda. I read the Mechemia in Russian Chumash quotes that Joshua. Imkein, Asiel Zalamosha Rabbeinu Balmum. He was a Balmum. Elam Lavit Shasalo Imo Chupasa Kinurim Bateva. She made a chuppah saying that Amra Hashem Alodas Kele Chupasa. I'm not going to be able to marry to see his chuppah. So let me make a chuppah for him now, as if like he's going to be married under this chuppah right now. The Midrash quotes another answer that the Nar actually was referring to Aaron. Aaron saw what was happening to his brother. He's 3 years old. He started crying. He was a little older. He's called a Nar. And he was the one who was crying. Interesting. The third Sheetah. V'tachmol alav. She said that Moshe Rabbeinu, it must be a Yid. Mina Yada, how did she know that it was a Jew? Amar Rabbi Yosef Rechanina, Shirazah. She saw that he had a bris milah. So she knew that he was a Jew. Zeh, what's Zeh? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Melamed, Shinistam Shalomidaito. That she had a nevuah without noticing. This is the last one to fall, because they know right after that, Paro's decree had been abolished, because they said that the Moshiach is no longer, we don't see him anymore, he must have been thrown into the river. I know that Rabbi Lazar. That people are going to say to you, that the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, the Ode of Avodah Zarah, They're going to say to you to look at the avosos v'yadonim type of sorcerers and things of that nature. Mesazim v'meganim. So the pasuk saying tzofim v'inam yodim atzofim, that they say things they don't realize what they're saying. They're vocalizing literally, but they don't know what they're talking about. It's not a picture. So she was saying something also that she read. Rosh and Moshiach Yisrael b'mayim uloke. So because the astrologers of Paro had seen that the person who's going to save Klal Yisrael is going to be thrown into the water. That's what I'm saying. They established that anybody is going to be thrown into the river because they didn't know who it was. We don't see anything anywhere. He was thrown into the river. At that point, they abolished all their decrees. Because, well, again, the order was that Klal Yisrael was supposed to be thrown into the river to kill them, to make sure that they don't procreate at such a high level to be able to kill them. Then once they realized that the Moshiach was gone, they realized, okay, there's no issue. Let's have more slaves. Let them procreate. We don't care anymore. He was thrown into the river. So that's why they allowed the Jews to be able to continue. These are the waters that Bnei Yisrael, which Moshe Rabbeinu was told he was going to not be able to go to Eretz Yisrael anymore. What are these? Hema Meriva. Hema. These are the rivers that the Shiro Itzagin Parvatao, that the astrologers of Paro had seen this. And they made a mistake. They saw that the Moshiach Shal Yisrael is going to be Laka Alamayim. They didn't realize it was going to be through Mei Meriva, not through the being thrown into the Yamsuf. But I need to come on Moshe. There's 600,000 people in the world. Amar Moshe Yisrael, Bishvili Nitzaltem Kulchem, that because of you, because of me rather, you were all saved. Once I was thrown into the river, so then that ended up saving all of you. Tosfos asks the obvious question, what do you mean? That because of me, all because of you, the Gzeros even happened. No, so that's what Tosfos is saying, that they wanted to originally throw them into the water so that they shouldn't procreate, but once they knew that the leader was already thrown into the river, then they established that they would be allowed to live. So Moshe Rabbeinu did in fact save Klal Yisrael. Now the Gemara continues, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Amar, Oso Yom Eshim Vechad Nisan, that day was the 21st day of Nisan, coming up, the day of the 21st day of Nisan, which was the same day as the Shira Sayyam, the day of the splitting of the Yamsuf. Amar Malchai Asharei Slifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim said with me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shalom, Misha Asi Lomar Shira Alayam B'Yom Zeh, the one who's going to say the great Az Yashir on the seventh day of Pesach, Yilka B'Yom Zeh, he's going to die. Rabbi Achim Rechani Amar Oso Yom Shisha B'Sivan. No, he disagrees. He says it was the day of the giving of the Torah. Shisha B'Sivan. I know the Malachim said with me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shalom, Misha Asi Lekol, Lekabal HaTayrim, Arsina B'Yom Zeh, Yilka B'Yom Zeh is going to be. He's going to be punished on this day. So the Gemara says, "Bishlam the Bishisha Besivan Mishkach La Tasiarche." We see that it's 3 months from Moshe's birth, and day. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar. Damar Mar Beshiva Ba'Adar Mei. So Beshiva Ba'Adar Nolad. Beshiva Ba'Adar Beshisha Besivan is already Tasiarche. Is already 3 months. El Alaman Damar Be'Ezrim Echad Besivan. By Nisan rather, it was the 21st day of Nisan. Echim Mishkachala. It's only a month and a little bit after he was born. So the Gemara says, "Osu Shanamu Beres." I said, "No, it was a leap year. Moshe was born in the first Adar. So you have Rubash Harishon, you have the first month of Adar, and Rubash Achron and Merova the second month of Adar, and then on Emtzei Shalem, and in the middle Adar you have all that one. You have Rubash Achron is rather going on the month of Nisan. You have Rov of Nisan because on the 21st day of Nisan, and you have the middle month of Adar Sheni, and that was the 3 months. Okay, I guess we'll have to stop over here. And on time, V'Tomer Achoso El Bas Paro. Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with that in tomorrow's daf."